get them girls loose.
TJR out of the end zone. He drills it high and deep. Poyer's going to let it go over his head. It's going to hit at the 35-yard line. 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second. That's the ball game. And the Browns dominate the Steelers on this Sunday afternoon. They dominated the Steelers.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Oh, how sweet it is. The Browns dominate the Steelers. Beautiful words from the golden tones of Jim Donovan on the call on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. And folks, your team made 11 game-changing plays yesterday in that domination, which means your game-changer multiplier is 12 times. Today only at Horseshoe Casino Cleveland. Make sure to get to Horseshoe today to redeem your game-changer multiplier. Then the game-changers, those qualify as rushing yards, rushing plays of 10 or more yards, passing plays of 20 or more yards, and turnovers for the defense. And they had one turnover, obviously a lot of chunk plays passing and rushing in this one. That's why your multiplier is 12 times today only at Horseshoe Casino in Cleveland. We're going to get into what made this team so effective offensively and defensively. Of course, I'm joined by Joe Juravicius and Matt Wilhelm, but we're going to get to you right now. It is a day of celebration in Cleveland, and for good reason. Let's go to John in Philly. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You got it.
You got it.
Hey, I just, you know, watching that game yesterday, I honestly wanted to get on Twitter. I wanted to get on Facebook, do whatever I can, but I'm going to do it right now on the air. I just want to thank Coach Patton, and I want to thank Mr. Haslam and all the coaches, all the players for putting such a awesome performance together yesterday. I've never had such a good time since 99 watching a football game.
I think a lot of people had a great time, and certainly such a team effort. What Coach Patton has instilled, as you guys talked about, has been great. Everybody's buying in. Everybody's doing their role. And, you know, Coach Patton said before this game, the mark of a good coach is what you do when backups are in there. And I would say for a guy who calls it a pass-fail league, he passed with flying colors yesterday.
I think it's an A-plus, to be honest with you. I mean, it personified what he kind of preaches around here. There was an exciting game. Guys stood up. Guys came into play. Starters played. Backups played. No turning the ball over. Fans were behind it. I mean, if you are going to start to build something special around here, I'm thinking we put a pretty good foundation down.
You definitely did. And I think the other thing is, that, again, we talked about it last week, that trust factor. You know, and Coach Patton's trust in Joe Hayden, not to be questionable, but to be able to go out and cover a guy like Antonio Brown up and down the field. Trust in a guy like Paul Kruger, who hadn't practiced Thursday or Friday, to say, hey, Coach, and have that conversation. I'm good. Throw me in, you know, because at any point you didn't want them to be an excuse for why you lose a game or play a game closer than you should have. But it's the trust in each other, the communication, I think, between a player and coach within this team is very unique and something that I've never really been a part of.
No question. And it's also part of the reason why this team is starting to get national respect. And we talked about that game yesterday being a huge springboard for national respect. We all felt in the building. We all talked about it last week. You feel like something's different. You see things may be different. I get to see it on a day-to-day basis. I knew it was different. But when you go out and put a beating on the Steelers like this, it opens the eyes of everybody around the league. And now you're seeing Peter King write about the Browns on a Monday morning quarterback. You're seeing on ESPN them praising the Browns, praising Brian Hoyer, and with great reason, because what this Browns team has done is showed that it can do it all. And for the first time this year, they dominated yards per play, outgaining the Steelers by an average of 2 yards per play in this game. A phenomenal job from the coaching and then the execution on the field. Let's go now to Reggie in Youngstown, our good friend Reggie here on CBD.
Hey, fellas, how you doing, man? I am so happy today. I know you guys are. I'm listening to you and stuff like that. Hey, Joe, I wanted to ask you something, man. My opinion in general, do you see what, well, I've been saying, and, you know, all the guys on the radio basically except one gentleman in general that kind of still likes, you know, his boy Manziel. But what I was going to say, do you see what I've been saying all year, and the guys right there with you, they'll tell you I have been saying about Hoyer playing like Tom Brady, man. He plays just like Tom Brady.
You know what's interesting about that is a lot
of
people.
He plays just like Tom Brady.
You're right. And
just like him.
Would we take Tom Brady on this squad? Not right now because we have Hoyer. But
right.
What I'm getting at here is people talk that Hoyer's a game manager. Hoyer's a winner is what the guy is. He's leading by example. He's taking his team. He's made it his team. Guys are buying into it. And that's what's so special about this part. Hoyer is a guy right now that is playing within his game, and let's be honest, nobody's really talking about the turnover ratio. We have one turnover all
fewest
season.
In the NFL.
That's what wins you football games.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think also too, we talked about it last week, and just the in the Tennessee game, it's that growth in the relationship between Kyle Shanahan and Brian Hoyer. Kyle Shanahan's not going to call. You said it best, Joe. Brian Hoyer knows his skill set. He knows what he's best at, and he knows what he struggles with. And Kyle Shanahan plays to his strengths consistently. And that's what, again, I think the play calling, you know, and the scheming of exactly knowing exactly what coverage we're going to get and calling the play that I think, you know, in talking to Sean, you know, that they practiced that throwback all training camp long.
Oh,
and
yeah.
To know exactly where we're going to get it. We not only do it to Cameron for a darn near a touchdown, but we come back to Dre.
Ran the same exact play.
To the other side with a different guy. Right. So that's what you got to love about the versatility of this offense. We don't care who we throw it to as long as you make the plays. Brian Hoyer is equal opportunity, and Kyle Shanahan puts us in a great situation.
The Browns completed 8 passes yesterday. That's it. They ran the ball 37 times through only 17 passes, and yet they put up 31 points, and those 8 completions went for 217 yards. That's impressive, and I think Kyle Shanahan right now is the best coordinator in football, period, on either side of the ball, because what he is doing and the way he is scheming things up is fantastic. It's playing to the strengths of Brian Hoyer. This is a team taking care of the football, as you said, but producing chunk plays. This isn't a safe offense, and the number one stat or combo stat that is key to winning in the NFL is if you win the turnover battle and the chunk play battle, you win in the National Football League, and that's what the Browns certainly are doing. And I got just some fun stats out here. I'm going to do like a little bit of a quick interview with myself, and then you guys are going to pick this up very quickly. Brian Hoyer right now in the NFL, the guy who is number one in the National Football League with 15 completions of more than 20 yards in the air is
Brian Hoyer.
Number one in the NFL with averaging 3 completions of 20 or more yards per game.
Brian Hoyer?
Number one in the NFL, 66.7% completion rate on passes of more than 20 yards in the air.
Brian Hoyer.
Impressive.
Number one in the NFL with 531 yards passing on passes of more than 20 yards in the air. And by the way, he missed the game. There's a buy-in here.
Brian Hoyer.
And he's number one in the NFL, averaging 22.1 yards per attempt on passes of 20 or more yards in the NFL. He is the most effective deep ball thrower in the National Football League in every single possible measurable statistic this season. And why? Because of what he is doing, what these receivers are doing, and what Kyle Shanahan is doing setting these things up, because the majority of it is coming off of play action. They are establishing the run. They're using the misdirection, as you talked about, the big play to Cameron, the big play to Dre. Yesterday against Pittsburgh, 7 passes off of play action, 5 completions, 179 yards.
That's crazy.
You know, we're talking about the long ball too, which is great. And again, because we have a running game that's established now, we have guys that people are literally fearing when they come into the game on Sunday. It's opening everything up downfield. But then the flip side of that, you still have guys like Miles Austin who are just coming in there and being the consummate professional.
2 catches for first downs.
Right. Yeah. 2 catches for first downs and a big one on the sideline. Yep. Where he was able to get down, drag his whole body in bounds.
Nice sliding catch.
I mean, it's a beautiful thing, and everybody's doing this thing by committee, and nobody's complaining because we're winning.
And that pass, Miles Austin's first catch was massive. I thought that
huge,
really,
it huge.
Was, you're sitting there, you're saying, okay, we're not getting anything going, things are not working out, and then all of a sudden you get that nice catch to Austin, he goes up, it's behind him, and makes a phenomenal catch anyway, and that really is what got the offense going there in this game, and it was one of the things that kind of said, okay, we can do it. It was 3rd and 6 at the own 36, very next play was a deep pass to Cameron, and that got them going, but it could have been a 3rd straight 3-and-out. He made a great catch there, and he's been fantastic. These guys yesterday, you look at the receivers, nobody had crazy numbers. Cameron ended up with 3 for 101, but Benjamin, 1 catch, 31 yards. Dre, 1 for 31. Gabriel, 1 for 24. Austin, 2 for 29. I mean, they are all big plays.
Yeah, and I'm not taking anything away from these guys, but the one thing that reigns supreme in my eyes is you went statistical about Brian Hoyer is we're doing all of this without Pro Bowl wide receiver Josh Gordon, who is probably one of the deepest threats in all of football. So again, Brian Hoyer is playing within himself. Kyle Shanahan is putting us in amazing situations, and our guys are making the plays when their number is called.
He's not forcing. Kyle is not forcing his hand. He is going to what his talent level is, and his talent level, as far as I'm concerned, is clutch.
Yeah.
It's clutch because guys are doing the right thing. They're obviously getting the right fits at the offensive line. They're running the ball hard. They're getting downhill, creating yards. And then when you start doing the misdirections and the crisscrossing and guys are just making, you know, great catches, impossible catches, It's moving the chains. It's giving us the opportunity to get in the end zone. And like I said, over all the stats we just talked about, we're getting W's.
W's.
That's right.
That's what it all adds up
to. And I just want
to
ask Joe a question, and we talked about it all the time, is it seems to me defensively that, like, our guys, when they're open, they're wide open.
That's what I'm saying.
You know,
the scheme is
and
unreal.
And I'm just asking Joe, it's like, that is a testament in my eyes to Kyle Shanahan calling those plays, understanding what coverage and percentage of seeing those coverages to be able to call a play in the right situation. Because Brian Hoyer, I mean, can he fit in a tight window? Yes. Has he forced some throws? Absolutely. But these guys are schematically wide open when they catch these balls.
They are. There's no doubt about it. But again, it always comes down to the coaching, not only from the coordinator, but from the position coaches. And what you're seeing is these guys are being very meticulous about what they have to do. And when you're meticulous and you do things consistently, positive things happen. You know, you're looking at Jordan running down the center for his touchdown and center field for his touchdown. I mean, you talk about a pretty ball. It was
Oh, that was gorgeous.
If there's any, the only person who could catch it was him, and he did, and it was 6 points.
And he was fast. He was on his horse, wanted to get in the end zone, throw the tee for his son Tristan, who was in attendance at the game yesterday. So that certainly was very cool for Jordan Cameron. But you're right. The scheme is great. Brian Hoyer is seeing the field very well in terms of what he needs to look at outside of the scheme. He's making good throws. The ball's delivered on time. He's made a throw each of the last few games. I'm like, wow, I think that's the best throw I've seen Brian Hoyer make. So he continues to impress. This offense just giving the ball, feeding Ben Tate, 25 carries, 78 yards, 2 touchdowns. The Crow, 11 for 77. Caw-caw! Take care of the ball now, Crow. But an explosive, dynamic player who, by the way, has no running back in the NFL, has had a higher percentage of their carries go for more than 15 yards than Isaiah Crowell. He's dangerous. This team is putting it together. They're doing a great job. The guys up front are getting done. We're going to hand out 3 game balls. It's going to be tough to do only 3 in this game. Chevy in New Jersey is with us. What's up, Chevy?
You know, there's nobody I'd rather celebrate this victory with than you three right there. I miss Vic, but Nathan, you are really emerging as one heck of a guy out there.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
He just blushed.
I did. I did. It was very kind of you. Thank you.
All right, here's my 3 guys. Hughes, Bitonio, and Hoyer. And I want to say that pass Hoyer threw to the rabbit. Did you see that spiral? I mean, that was a thing of beauty. Thanks, guys.
It was. So Bitonio, Hoyer, and who was the last
Hughes.
One you give to? And Hughes. I think John Hughes had a monster game stepping up. He was around the quarterback repeatedly. He got pressure. He stood up at the line of scrimmage, did not let them push him off the point of the attack, had the deflection that led to the interception by Buster Screen. Great game there. And, yeah, Travis Benjamin, by the way, high-pointing that ball, going up and getting it for 31 yards, making big plays now every game, playing bigger than his size, and really has settled into his role as a wide receiver. That's what he is now. He's a wide receiver.
It's a thing of beauty because, again, guys are relishing their roles. We keep talking about the best teams in the NFL. When you talk about the New England Patriots, what they used to do back in the day, and they, to a degree, they still do it nowadays, everybody has a role to play. You always have your superstars on an NFL team. You always have the guys the media wants to talk to. But if you don't have guys doing their job, your superstars aren't going anywhere. I don't care where you are. And right now what we're finding out is we just have a bunch of guys that have bought in to the Cleveland Browns way, to what Coach Pettine is trying to do. And it's just a fun thing to watch. And obviously when you have people calling in from all over the United States, excited.
They're fired up.
Making
That's right.
Nathan blush over here. Life is good.
You're right. And I really think if you listen to Brian Hoyer's his post game talk about, we don't care who gets the credit. You know, as long as we're productive and we win football games, that's it. It doesn't care. He could be 8 of 17, 1 of 17, and, you know, it doesn't. And the defense could have won the football game instead of putting 31 on the board. They don't care. This team does not care. They are selfless. They want victories. They want to be in NFL conversations as legitimate contenders.
Oh, they're in it. They're in Peter King's top, his fine 15. He put the Browns in the top 15 this week. They continue to move up. We said they were going to be in the top half of the league once they won this game, and now they are. And it's funny, I talked to Dante Whitner after the game, and the first thing he talked about, other than, you know, this is great for Cleveland, and he's so happy for the city and for the team, I can't believe we let them score that touchdown. That's what was still sticking in his craw after that game.
If I'm going to give you a play of the game, to be honest with you, Dante Whitner meeting Le'Veon Bell at the 5-yard line.
And standing him up, getting low.
And hits him. I mean, lowers the boom on him.
Oh, yes, he did.
I mean, there's a size differential. Dante comes through the hole and says, I'm from East Cleveland. And I'm going to stuff you right in the hole. I mean, it was
Dante
phenomenal.
Don't care.
Right.
Dante,
and
he
that's
does
the
not
thing,
care.
But that's the I mean, you see the passion in that guy. I could play with 10 more of him on my squad because you know that guy is bringing the A game every game. And when he met him in the hole, That sets an attitude for the defense, gets the crowd excited, and they only get 3 points out the gig.
It was huge. That was a huge stand ultimately down there at the goal line. All right, let's get one quick call in here before we take a break. We still have the roundtable coming up, but then the rest of the show is all you, and we're going to continue to break down the game. We're going to get Matt's thoughts on why the defense was so effective in this game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's got some good takes on that. Let's go to John in Cleveland now. John, welcome to CBD.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
All right. Hey, first off, I just want to say happy birthday
to Mr. Hoyer, the quarterback of the Browns. Yes, happy birthday to him today.
Yeah, he's doing a great job out there. Keep it up. And I want to tell the Browns on the offense and defense end, they're doing great.
All right, it's cutting in and out on us there, John. Appreciate the call, though, and the nice sentiments. And, yes, the offense and defense did get it done. Let's go to Mike in Macedonia real quick. What's up, Mike?
Hey, I just want to know, why is Terrence West in the doghouse? I don't get it.
So I believe, as you heard Mike Pettine say, it was a coach's decision. This had nothing to do with necessarily performance. I think that this was an opportunity or a tool that the coaches were utilizing to send a message about how they want somebody to be when they play like a Brown, whether that's attitude, practice habits, whatever it may be. They needed to send a message to Terrence West, and this was, you know, they felt the most effective way to do so. And it basically, I think when you go out there and you're a guy like Terrence West and you see you're a healthy scratch, and the team goes out and has a 31-10 win, it makes you say, man, I better figure this out because it's not like they missed me that much out there.
Guys, football has a very funny way of humbling people. And I think what we see here is literally you have to bring your A game not only to the football field, but you have to bring it to the workroom, to the office. You have to do things the right way. And again, if you start to adopt that attitude as you move forward, big things happen. But again, if you don't buy into everything being said, then you know, football has a funny way of humbling somebody.
I want to say this because it could be easy to think that Terrence West could take this news and take it the wrong way and just go out and pout on the sideline.
Right.
He was fully engaged in that game. There was the one run where Crowell went for 17 up the right sideline. The first person who was over giving him a dap and saying good job and being up, it was Terrence West. I wanted to watch that. That was something that I really focused on yesterday. And he certainly stayed engaged. I think he's gotten the message. Incredibly talented kid. And you know, maybe this will just be something we're not talking about a few weeks from now, but a blip on the radar. But you guys have both been in these locker rooms. Is it something when you see that and you go, oh man, Terrence West, who ran for 100 yards, by the way, in week one against Steelers, leading rusher on the team, healthy scratch. Is that kind of everybody in the locker room like, oh man, okay. These and does it give you a sense that the coach is like, look, they're not messing around?
I don't necessarily think so because, I've been in healthy scratch before, you know, where I wasn't necessarily a starter, but I was in packages on defense. And you sacrifice those packages in your game plan offensively or defensively because of injuries. And look, we lost Bryant, you know, that we were down to literally, three defensive linemen. So things like that happen, and you understand that's the full-body 16-game mentality of a football season that Terrence West has to learn very quickly. This won't be the first time that he'll be a healthy scratch. I promise you that. It will happen again. And the sooner that he can wrap his head around that it's bigger than him and his role, the better for this football team.
What's interesting is you also have the 53-man roster that on game day it goes down.
45.
It goes down to 45 people. So now you have to figure out who's healthy, who's all that. So all that comes into play. But the other thing that happens with this is it's really nice if you're a Cleveland Browns fan to know that we have a three-headed monster right now at the running back position, and you can afford to sit one of them for a game, and the other two can still go off.
And you win by 21 points.
Rush for over 150 yards. Yes, Isaiah Crowell, second in the NFL, 5.4 yards per carry. Ben Tate gets not only his first, but his first two touchdowns as a member of the Browns here in his home debut at First Energy Stadium. When we come back, we're going to keep hitting these phone lines. We're going to continue to talk about a great team victory. We haven't even gotten into a guy like Desmond Bryan, who I think turned in one of his best games since being a member of the Cleveland Browns at a time when they needed the Kitch stepping up. John Hughes, the back end of this defense. Paul Kruger, what toughness he showed gutting it out there. I know he was hurting, and he brought it as well. What a great team win, and happy to be with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.